Just pick through something there and see if you.
Oh, that sounds great. Sounds pretty. Here, I'll give you the cans for a second. They sound pretty good. Yeah, sounds good.
Cool.
It sounds good. So I have a list of things we can talk about, but excellent. Knowing the way I talk with people, I'm probably only going to use half, and then we'll probably start fine. Talking about Kanye and yeah. my sheepdog. That's a guarantee. So, well, great. Well, Sean, thank you so much for dropping by the station. This is the first time we've done this here on A Change of Tune, so it's great. We have a family friend, but not really family, but more like music family friend popping in.
I love the idea of music family. I love the show here and what you're doing, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. So speaking of music family, let's look into your music family
okay.
here in West Virginia. You are currently in Coyotes and Boxes.
Yes.
You also have this solo project, mm-hmm. which Wilbur by the Sea, correct? Mm-hmm. And what other things have you been a part of since, you know, you've been in and around West Virginia?
My friend Patrick Stanley, my best friend, he is in a band called the Horse Traders right now. For a while, we had a little folk duo I was kind of fresh out of college and living with a few guys in Huntington years ago called the Rambling Dangers. And I also was in a band called Attack Flamingo where I sang and played guitar. That was, yeah, it was like, it was kind of like just like a rock band with some like electronic like beats and stuff. With the drummer that I've been playing with in bands since like high school and a couple other really good friends. So when that band ended in 2010, then pretty much right after that, like first couple months of 2011, is when Coyotes and Boxes formed. And then played a few years here in West Virginia and then moved to Nashville together. Been there about 2 years now. I think that's the main progression there of things.
I have to ask, why Attack Flamingo? Like, what does that represent, if anything?
Well, I really like the idea of like names of things, especially like band names. So I just keep like a list on my phone of like anytime I hear something that sounds cool, I just write it down because it could be like a song title or like a movie title. Not that I'm ever going to make a movie, or like the name of a book, or it could be a racehorse, or it could be, you know, a lyric.
Racehorses have great names.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I never watch racehorsing, but every time horse names come up on the Sports Center or something, I appreciate them.
Yeah.
And I judge whether they're cooler, whether you could have a better name than that, or that's a great name. So anyway, I like names, and I think I was just like on a beach trip or something, and there was like a rack of some, you know, touristy little signs or something that was like, beware of attack pigeon, beware of attack dog, and beware of attack flamingo. I was like, oh, attack flamingo, that would be a good something. And then I started making like a few songs that were kind of like solo, but with like more of a heavy electronic kind of thing than what I've been doing more recently, although there's always been kind of a blend there. But I just called it that, and then I decided that I was going to try to, you know, like have a band with some of my good friends in college at the time, just a natural kind of group of guys playing together. And so we just kept the name Attack Flamingo, and then there was a point in the toward the end of the band where we were trying to be really serious and questioning the name, thinking it was really dumb, and we spent like 6 months trying to come up with a better name. And we ended up just keeping it. That was a really, I don't know, just really exhausting process. I mean, at some point, I think I think a name is very important, but at some point, it's, I don't know, it doesn't matter. And it just becomes associated with the music itself, I think.
Yeah. Although, nowadays, if you're planning on changing your name, it seems like there's some, like, issue with it because of branding. So if you mm-hmm. change your name over multiple times, people are right. like, oh, well, now I have to friend you again on this Facebook, and I have to follow you again on this. And so I can see some issues with it. But with Attack Flamingo, I mean, the cover art just speaks for itself. Like, with flamingos attacking crowds of music lovers, and That's crazy. An attack flamingo sign. I guess you'd use that in Florida. Like, I don't know where else you'd want to put that in your yard unless you just want to be kooky funny.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't buy the sign. I just remember the name. Yeah, and actually the branding, we went with more of like space themes and like propaganda, like Soviet propaganda stuff. It was not what you'd expect. Like, it was...
No.
I think like, we were trying to be really serious, but then the name was like, well, we're not going to take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And I think I have the same thing going with Wilbur by the Sea, maybe to a fault. I've been trying to think when I release a new project whether to just go by Sean Nicely or whether to still call it Wilbur by the Sea, because I think it does have, like, a sort of a tinge of, like, silliness there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of always kind of fluid, but I think it's easier from a branding perspective with, like, a solo project because, you know, on social media and things, I'm posting about all the things I'm doing as myself. You can see my name there, so it's not like a... If I were to go by my name, it wouldn't be as much of a conflict as just changing band names and then, oh, what is this band? So...
Yeah, I do the same with mine. It's like, I just recently changed it, so instead of like a change of tune, it's mm-hmm. Joni Deutsch, a change of tune, which helps mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. if someone follows, they're like, oh yeah, Joni Deutsch, I know that name. And then they get into a change of tune by proxy, but it's still confusing because then sometimes I speak with the voice of a change of tune, and then other times I'm like, hey guys, here's a picture of my sheepdog. There you go. First time mentioning the sheepdog now. But yeah, I can understand that. It's a weird dichotomy of like personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's Radio Joni, and then there's... Mm-hmm. the other Joni that lives 24/7. So, yeah, interesting. Well,
Secret Joni.
There's Secret Joni. God.
That's the new name of the show, by the way.
It's the Secret Joni Show with your host, Secret Joni. Actually, funny fact, like my first radio show in college was the DJ Joni Show.
There you go.
It was so original. Like no one else would have thought of that name for me in that show, but it worked. Actually, I was going to plan on making this show the DJ Joni Show, and of course, public radio people are like, no, it has to be like an idiom. And I was like, all right, it's going to be a fresh air. No, that's already used. A change of tune. And that's how that came about. In case you wanted to know how the name of Change of Tune happened, it wasn't I saw a sign in a shop. It was, oh, I need something that's like an expression of sorts. But, well, Wilbur by the Sea, you just mentioned it, your mm-hmm. kind of solo project, your newest solo project. What can you tell me about it? How did it come about?
Well, ever since I was in that more electronic rock band, Attack Flamingo, that I told you about, ever since that band ended, I never stopped writing songs because I was the primary songwriter and frontman of that band. But everything I wrote after that was a little more like introspective. It was a little more like vulnerable, maybe. I was listening to a lot of folksy stuff at the time. You know, you're like Iron and Wine. I was really obsessed with Elliot Smith. Some of these kind of solo people. I got into a Ryan Adams phase after that, although I wouldn't necessarily call it Americana, but all of these people are kind of, you know, influencing me in a different way to where everything I'm writing doesn't feel like, you know, indie rock like Coyotes and Boxes. Steve Holland, the front man of Coyotes and Boxes, is just a madman, indie rock songwriter, just constantly churning out these songs that are just amazing, that just fit that style. And everything that I've been writing for the last 4 years has felt more like a solo project. So I needed some kind of name for it, or just go by my name. That's honestly, it's been a tension the entire time I've been doing it, but I haven't really slowed down writing songs. I keep writing songs. But I don't know, I've always had this insecurity, I guess, that no one will ever figure out how to spell my last name because it's super weird. Everybody always has to ask me, how do you say that? Or they'll say, you know, Kinsley or Kingsley, it's Nicely, but I mean, and then people who have known me for years still spell L-E-Y instead of E-L-Y, so I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't go by that, so I came up with a moniker, and basically it was just the whole, you know, like becoming an adult and realizing I just want to play music. I just don't want to slow down playing music. I just want to travel and play music. I don't want to be stuck. That's another tension, obviously, making money versus traveling, playing music, but on one of these traveling, just getting out of town for a weekend, clearing my head trips, there was a sign down in Florida that all it said was Wilbur by the Sea, just on the side of the road. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I was talking about branding and stuff to like a cousin of mine who's really into that stuff and really skilled, has a sort of mind for that sort of thing. I was like, you know what, that's symbolic that, you know, it was like you're adventuring and traveling and you see this and you resonate with this. Like, this sign knows its place in the world. It's kind of quirky, it's kind of out there in a strange place, but it knows where it is and it knows who it is, and you're kind of searching for that same thing through music. It's like, wow, that's deep. I never would have realized that. Maybe I subconsciously did that. Either way, I saw the name. I thought it was weird and interesting. Maybe it was a little silly compared to like the content that isn't really silly that I write about. but I think that's okay too. But basically, that's the whole story. I just kept writing songs. They felt more like a solo thing, and I've just been putting them out slowly. I put out one full project, and ever since then, it's just been like little spurts of things, YouTube video here and there, a split EP I put out last year with a good friend I've made down there in Nashville, just three songs each. Some of the newer stuff, and then I've got a lot of other new stuff that is kind of in the works. I've been cleaning up the songs, recording them myself, planning what to do, whether to put a band around it for recording, and it's kind of like, you know, do that. But there's so much momentum with Coyotes and Boxes too that I've been kind of taking the solo thing a little more slowly while the band has been constantly doing things, which is awesome. That's, you know, why I moved. It's to take, you know, to take music very seriously. So it's been a good journey so far. Just slowly figuring it out.
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear a track, I guess, with the new record and the new release. Uh-huh. That's with Grossly Illuminated. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep. My good friend Troy Dixon. It goes by Grossly Illuminated. Yeah.
Well, cool. If you want to go ahead and pick whatever song. And, sure. Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
So a couple of those tracks have some electronic stuff going on. And then one of them is just acoustic guitar and harmonica. I'll play that one because those are the instruments that I currently have on my person.
Do you mind if I take a picture of you while you're...
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Well, I take off my headphones and put on my harmonica.
It's going to look like you have braces. It's going to be great.
Brace face. That wasn't very nice.
I'm sorry. I never had braces. I never learned.
Neither did I.
Oh, really? We're
like, we're the lucky ones. Jenny, were you a bully? I'm just kidding. I'm sure you weren't.
You don't know me. I ruined lives.
Okay, so just go for it. Are we waiting?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, cool. It's called Goldie Goldie. I wrote it while I was in Boston a few years ago, kind of at the beginning of Coyotes and Boxes, as I was kind of figuring myself out, trying to get out there and play in new places and figure out where I wanted to be in the world. And this is the only song I wrote in my month in Boston about just kind of the tension between being comfortable where you're at and not falling into this grass is always greener mentality, but also not getting complacent with where you're at. So,
offered at your best, but changing age has made you forget. You sing wandering ways when the day again. So Goldie, Goldie, aren't you always frozen? No, you're far from home, only holding on to all is over, all is overthrown. Thousand ways, but everywhere's the same. Don't you need a deeper change? There's someone else escaping your destination. Your thoughts are cut and paste. So Goldie, Goldie, aren't you always frozen? No, you're far from home, only holding on to all is over, all is overthrown. Goldie, Goldie, aren't you always frozen? No, you're far from home, only holding on to all is over, all is overthrown. You yearn for what is not found, you don't for what is around, you burn. Buried in the leaves. is over, all is overthrown. Goldie, Goldie, aren't you always frozen? No, you're far from home, only holding on to all is over, all is overthrown.
That was not bad. That was great. Thank you. Thanks, Sean. So that was Goldie Goldie off of that new release with, you said, what's his face again?
Grossly Illuminated. His name's Troy Dixon. Okay. He's really awesome at recording and mixing and songwriting. And that's one of the great things about moving to Nashville. There's a lot of creative people here in West Virginia, and I'm pumped that we've stayed in touch and kept working with all those people. There's tons and tons and tons of creative people down in Nashville. I've had the pleasure to meet a few of them, become good friends with a few of them, and it's just really beautiful to see those worlds kind of blending together a little bit. One of my good friends played in Coyotes and Boxes, the entire band, until just a few months ago. The keyboard player, Chris Miller, got married a few weeks ago, and that was kind of the biggest profound moment to me so far of that kind of idea that here are all my Nashville friends, here are tons of my West Virginia friends, who I never thought would be meeting each other, and we're all just kind of celebrating together here at the same place, and it's like our worlds are just intermingled, which is beautiful, because we don't feel like we've left West Virginia behind at all by moving to Nashville. We just feel like we've stretched our world out a little bit and stayed in touch with all the little parts of it.
Okay, so that brings up a kind of a good point then. I'm going to start talking about this with you, about the West Virginia music scene. What are your thoughts on it since you picked up with Coyotes and Boxes in Nashville? Like, because you're kind of, you're a little far away from it now, so you might have like a different perspective.
It's been amazing to see a lot of these bands be very serious, and maybe we just kind of challenge ourselves to kind of step up to another level to where we saw and started working with the bands that were already at this level. I don't know, all of a sudden, like, going on little runs to, like, Louisville and Chicago with some of these other West Virginia bands, and just seeing, like, here are a lot of bands of our friends, like, from West Virginia who are, like, doing very serious things, like, traveling around and playing, and I guess I just wasn't in bands before that were doing that, before Coyotes and Boxes, or never figured out how to get kind of out of the grind of just, like, work through the week and then play on the weekends, but mostly in town. Just tried to, never really got to the point where we were, like, trying to stretch our world out and really get out there, get our hands dirty playing out on the road. But the most beautiful thing has been seeing, realizing, as we're playing in these other cities with other West Virginia bands, like, man, there's tons of bands from the West Virginia music scene that are getting out there and doing it down in Athens, Georgia, or Louisville, or Lexington, or Chicago. I've just been noticing, you know, on social media and when we come across them or talk to our friends, like, just how much all these bands are doing. It's really, really beautiful. Where it seemed to me a few years ago that most of the local bands were staying local, that may or may not have been true. It just might have been my perspective. But now it's very clear that there's tons of bands that are taking it very seriously out on the road.
Yeah, no, I agree, because it seems like, I mean, the last time I talked with, who was it, Kyle and Steve from the band Coyotes and Boxes, it was like last fall, and God, has a lot changed since then in terms of what West Virginia bands have been doing. Mm. And I think a lot of that has to do with this newfound energy and, of course, Twin Cousins Records really pushing people to get on the road and meet people and just go out there and do great music. Mm-hmm. But, man, it's like it's not even been a year yet, and I feel like there's just leaps and bounds in what we're seeing right now, which is great. I mean, that's great for audiences. That's great for radio people like myself. And I don't know, just it's nice to see that you guys you were putting pride in your work before, but it's like it's just a different energy.
Yeah, trying to put like a work ethic behind the creative energy, I guess, and just trying to create more of a complete ambition there to try to really make things happen, I guess.
Yeah.
The bands that are making it happen, I think, are just the ones that go out and do it. I mean, obviously, you have to have good music, but I kind of realized that a few years ago, too. Like, some of these bands you would see come through Huntington or the V Club, wherever, fairly often, so you'd, like, recognize their names. I just started thinking, like, you know, they're good, but it, you know, the fact that they're building momentum and, like, brand recognition or whatever probably has more to do with the fact that they're just doing it, have decided to get out there and do it consistently, than them being better than some local band who just hasn't done that. They, you know, this local band might be better, they just haven't yet gone out there and put themselves out there consistently. And all it takes is to do that. I mean, you have to figure out a million practical things. How am I going to still pay rent is the big thing. But
do I have the time? Do I have the energy?
Right.
What about my dog that I'm going to leave at home? Yeah, there's all those questions.
Yeah, but it gets really serious. Like that last band I was in, Attack Flamingo, it seemed like we wanted to do all these serious things. This was like 5 years ago. And we did a couple little weekend trips, but it seemed really difficult to do that. And again, you know, it formed with some guys who were good friends in college. We were all there in the same place, so let's play music together. It makes sense. But then you try to recontextualize it to where, well, we're all serious enough to get out on the road and play. Well, now, you know, now things are different, if you're going to call it that. Now people's commitment is really challenged. Is that what they've committed to? You know, it's not necessarily true. So it can be difficult to keep a group of guys on the same page to get out there and take it seriously enough to figure out how to make everything else work so that you can get on the road and play music. And again, seeing all these West Virginia bands that are currently doing that speaks to me that there's, you know, a very serious music scene now.
Yeah. And I guess the question is, and this was kind of brought up in a panel that Dave Mistich did for a festival this past week, or I guess, you know, in June, depending on when this interview comes out, just this idea of making it. And what does that mean? I mean, that can mean totally different things to different people. You know, to me, it means just making a really good product. Mm. And I don't exactly care if it goes out to just Charleston or way out to Morgantown, whatever, but just making a product that I feel satisfied with. But then there's also the people out there that just care about making it in terms of, you know, making it in their one town or their one bar and doing better each and every time that one centralized location. Or then the making it type that's like, I'm going to go crazy popular. I'm going to be the next, like, you know, Maroon 5 or Taylor Swift. I don't know why you'd want to be Taylor Swift, but it's that kind of thing. So I guess in the case of these kind of West Virginia bands, you know, there's like five or six guys or four guys per band. What is each of them thinking in terms of making it?
Right. And that's a really important question. I'm kind of, I've come face to face with that kind of tension. People have wildly different views of what that means. Because I do Lyft and Uber driving sometimes
really?
In Nashville. Yeah, I do. It's a very, very fascinating. I've come across tons of people that way. There's plenty of stories. I should probably write them down at some point. But I was reminded of one specific time, because it comes up all the time. Like, oh, where are you guys from? And they're like, oh, blah, 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 wherever. What brought you to Nashville? And I'll say, music. And now we're talking about Coyotes and Boxes and my solo stuff and all that. It's just really natural transition. And then, you know, some lady is like, oh, well, you should go on The Voice or America's Got Talent or something like that. I'm like, I didn't like say this to her, but just in my mind, I'm just like, people don't understand. Like, to me, that's like winning the lottery or something. This old mindset of like, oh, I'm just going to get signed by a major label. I'm going to be super famous. I'm going to get on this TV show. That's just like so few people at the very top. And they're only at the very top for just a second. And on top of that, like, it's not even music that I find interesting. So why do I want to even be a part of that? So what does making it really look like? Well, you've got all these more like indie bands that maybe are consistent in appearing on these, like, you know, summer festivals or, you know, South by Southwest or whatever it is. Maybe that's closer to it. Or bands that have buzz with like music magazines or with like, you know, college students or on, you know, public radio, college radio. Maybe that's closer to what it would look like to me to make it, to, you know, be a band that's out there working hard enough that people who are interested in the kind of music that we're making know about that music and are enjoying it and hearing it and sharing it with their friends. That's probably what it looks like to make it to me. But I do appreciate the base level. You have to, like, you know, to make it, at least to yourself, you have to first put in the work to, like, really work on the songs to where you know that you're making something that you think is worthwhile, that you love, and you make yourself vulnerable enough to put it out there to people, play it in the local scene first, and just put the work in to where you feel like you've really done something. And then these other versions of making it are building off of that. But this, like, flash in the pan, like, oh, somebody's going to discover me, I'm going to be famous, is just so unrealistic.
Well, it even shows. I mean, American Idol just got canceled. I mean, the ratings.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it just got canceled after however many seasons. And it's, you know, and then the other kind of reality shows. Nowadays, I think people understand that it's fun to watch, especially mm-hmm. if there's an emotional draw, if there's some backstory about poverty and,
right.
you know, building up from the ground. But, I mean, you're right. Like, Kelly Clarkson, just there's a few winners over the last decade have really mm-hmm. made something of themselves consistently.
Right.
Other than that, everyone else, you forget their names after the mm-hmm. season's done. That
yeah.
one record out, maybe one single off it goes, you know, top 40, but that's it.
Right.
So you're right. It's a flash in the pan, and it seems like you actually get more of a work ethic if you're going through, you know, the ground up, like literally going from bars to then, you know, festivals to then music mags and mm-hmm. and then who knows where else.
Right.
But, yeah. Well, I guess, tell me a little bit about Kaidus and Boxes and just the progression mm-hmm. of that. Like, and you just mentioned that the fourth member, who was it again? Caleb? Not Caleb.
Chris Miller.
Chris, I knew it was a C. So Chris just recently not left the band, but he kind of,
I guess you'd call it like hiatus. It's just kind of recontextualized for now.
Okay.
I suppose. He, you know, Kyle and Steve are married already. We moved to Nashville. They're already married, and it just kind of worked. It was just like a fun dynamic. Everybody is like, we're on this adventure together. We're traveling. We're playing music. We're taking it really seriously and finding out how to have this, you know, this life and private family life, but also community music family life there in Nashville. We're going to travel together and stuff. And then, you know, Chris met a girl down there who's great, and they got really serious, got super busy. He decided to get a real serious job and just, like, pour into that. Which, I mean, that's like the most normal thing in the world. He's very open with us. There's absolutely no hard feelings. He might play with us again.
Good.
For now, it's been recontextualized as kind of like a louder, grittier, like a three-piece, with just guitar, bass, drums, that we're actually having a lot of fun with. So there's no hard feelings. Honestly, like I've heard it said before that like limitation is like crucial to creativity, like finding your creative limitations allows you the freedom to like actually create. So there's a couple of older songs we don't play anymore, like off of the first album, but there's also the challenge, and you know, we've already been writing new songs that fit this new dynamic to where we can, you know, well, what can we do with this to where honestly doesn't feel at all like we've been limited or, you know, anything has been taken away. We just feel like it's a new opportunity for fresh creativity. So that's been really good. So that's the latest phase of the band, I suppose. Yeah.
So you're not going to put like an ad in Craigslist that's like, wanted, a person for Kaidus and Boxes, the next Coyote, apply within.
Right. No, we had that insecurity at first. We're like, oh, we got to get somebody else. Oh, what if it was one of our friends who plays guitar and do two guitars instead of guitar and keyboard? And then we just did a couple shows by necessity, three-piece, and then a few of our a few of our trusted friends there were like, you know what? Like, we really like Chris, but three-piece sounds good. Like, I think I like it. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, I mean, I might even prefer it. They would say things like that, like Bud Carroll and John R. Miller, who used to be in the Fox Hunt, and Good Wolf, people like that, kept, like, were saying those things as we were playing, and then we were like, well, maybe we're okay. And then the other dynamic of less people in the band is you have to really lean on each other. So once we realized, like, you know, in the live show dynamic, like, it's just me and you, I'm doing what I'm doing, you're doing what you're doing, you're doing what you're doing, we all trust each other, we all have to hold down our point on the triangle here
mm-hmm.
and go for it. And then once you have that trust and that confidence in those roles, now it can be just a very free, fun, energetic live show. And then from a practical standpoint too, less people to organize means we've probably even done more things, which we didn't anticipate that being a thing. But
one less cat in the bag, you know, you
right.
don't have to wrangle another cat in there. It's like, okay, we're
right.
more organized.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I guess the thing is, you guys are still Kaidus and Boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you've
Absolutely.
Lost a limb and you're like, okay, now we have to call ourselves something different.
And he's still one of our best friends. I've been hanging out with him all the time and, you know, talking about creative things, and everything's great, really. Yeah, everything is proceeding pretty normally, except, you know, you come to a show and you're like, wait, hold on, aren't you four.
It's like, I remember that one other attractive guy was there. Like, what happened to him? Did you kill him off? Was it like The Bachelor or something? Bachelorette? Oh, well, that's nice. That's nice to know. I don't watch any of that. So, yeah, like, I know. Well, that's great. So with, I guess, between your work with Coyotes and then also your solo stuff, how do you have enough time to just make music? Like, how do you division that off?
Well, yeah, there's the big division try to spend as much time as possible working on this music consistently, because that's the only way it's going to get where we want it to go. So there's that versus like working to actually like survive in the city down in Nashville, like make enough money, but also spend enough time on music. And then there's the subdivision of the band stuff, which there's a collective energy there. It kind of takes care of itself again, because my solo stuff, I'm writing these songs, Coyotes, we all contribute, but Steve Holland is the primary songwriter, who is very prolific and writes tons of great songs all the time. So, and then we've got each other to help organize stuff, and the other two guys in the band, their wives help out with organizing. Then Dan Mistich, Twin Cousins Records, helps us organize things, stay on track, which is very helpful, by the way, because creative people are not always the most organized people, so outside help is great. But I would say practically what has been happening, and I think about this a lot, because I love the songs that I write. I'm very serious about them. But just practically, there's the collective energy of the band, so more things happen with the band. And then that makes me feel like I can take my time writing songs, recording songs for the solo stuff, to where I put out less things with that. And that's not what I want to happen, is to not put out as much stuff as I want. But I am doing tons of stuff with music all the time, and I think there will be a proper time for everything. So it's not bad. It's just it's like constantly evaluating your priorities and what's in your mind, and saying, oh yeah, I need to make sure to spend time with my songs today and not let the time just slip by.
So what do you want to do next with Wilbur by the Sea? Like, what's the next project for you? What do you hope to do in the next year?
Well, I've got few songs like the one I played that are a little more acoustic. I think I would like to do those maybe with a band. One of my good friends, Drew Blake, down in Nashville, who actually moved a couple years before we did, so maybe he's the one who started the whole process by putting that in our brains. I don't know, but he was my roommate at Huntington for a couple years, and then he moved down there, and he's got like a studio and stuff down there in his house, and just recorded a really great solo project. So hopefully you hear from him, and we, you know, keep adding to this West Virginia music scene idea, because I know he would like to start digging back into that. He's even more meticulous and slow with his solo stuff than I am with mine. But he has some other friends from Virginia, just people from all over the place, that we might try to put together some people and try to make like a full band thing out of a handful of songs. Maybe that would be like five or six songs. I don't know. It could be anything. It could be two songs, it could be eight songs, we're not sure yet. But there's that, and then there's the things I've been working on that still have the more of an electronic flavor, like the other two songs on that split EP I put out last year with my friend, goes by Grossly Illuminated. The first two tracks of mine are like, you know, beats and synthy kind of things with like electric or acoustic guitar. So that may be like a separate project, or I may figure out a way to kind of blend all that together. But I'm thinking maybe like two projects. One that'll be a little more quick and easy, with just some guys knocking it out in a studio, more organic flavor, and then another project that's more like electronic. And I don't really have a timetable for either of those. Earlier in the year, I was telling myself I would have one of those done by the end of the year. That may still be the case with the one that we just knock out in a studio, but the other one, I don't know. Just, I think all you can do is just keep working on it and authentically work on it and try to make it great, try to really, you know, write good songs, try to really put the work into making the songs great, and then really put the work into arranging them and recording them. That's the other thing that takes, when I allow myself to just record them on my own, it's another thing that lets it go on and on and on, because you can just tweak it forever. At some point you have to call it finished.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, another thing. You can tell I'm kind of scatterbrained.
No, you're doing pretty good. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
You're not the worst guest.
Oh, thanks. things. Oh, wait, I'm not the guest. You're not interviewing me. What am I doing?
I was putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, about, yeah. I didn't take them. I rejected them outright. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song from you. I don't know if you want to do, there's stuff from your EP you could still do, or maybe some older stuff, or sure. If you want to do Acoustic Coyotes, you could also do that. It's up to you.
I thought you might ask me that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's up to you.
Let's go with an older Woman by the Sea song from the first project that I put out a few years ago. I'll play Water Baby.
Refracting your gentle glow, and I'm wishing.